From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the Haunted Housewives join us. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. Imagine yourself on a plane and then the entire crew gets sick. That's what happened. A plane traveling from San Francisco to London diverted to Vancouver after members of the crew reported feeling sick. The Vancouver Coastal Health spokesperson, Gavin Wilson, said 25 crew members were taken to three Vancouver hospitals as a precautionary measure. They were assessed and released. British Airways has confirmed they were all crew members, no passengers taken to the hospital. No word yet on what caused it. Initially, they thought there might have been some kind of smoke issue, but apparently that did not happen. There were 400 passengers on that flight. With the presidential election set to enter its final 2 weeks, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump find themselves in a near dead heat, they say, at 41% in a four-way race, of course. Gary Johnson has edged up a little bit. The Libertarian and the Green Party's Jill Stein has rebounded a bit as well. But the bottom line is, after the election, almost half of the people in the United States who voted aren't going to be happy at all. I thought we'd bring in psychiatrist Peter Bregan for a moment. Peter, what's going to happen to that other half that's really ticked off about the results?
Well, I think the thing is not to fall into being depressed, which is an absolute helplessness. You know, since the Jefferson and Adams duped it out for presidency after George Washington, this country has fought hard over what its heart is, you know, who we are. And I think that that's what's going on right now. There's a really serious battle about what matters right now. And whoever loses, I think, is going to be anxious. There's nothing in this world right now that isn't going to leave us all with some concern and some anxiety. And I think after the election, we need to stay engaged.
Well, we need to stay happy and upbeat. I'm just not so sure that 50% really will be, because this has got to be, Peter, one of the most bitter elections I've ever experienced. And you've got those two camps now. I mean, those who support Hillary, those who support Donald Trump, the smaller amount that support the Libertarian Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, the Green Party. But by and large, 50% of the people really aren't going to be happy.
Well, I think that's true, but I think that's okay, George. You know, we really do need to take seriously what's happening in this country. And if a person ends up after the election feeling sad and feeling down, it's time to say, okay, it matters. By God, it matters. I'm going to get engaged. I'm going to think about, what do I believe in? Do I believe in freedom? Do I believe in opportunity? Do I believe we should love one another? What are the principles that founded the country? Are they still the principles you want to fight for? I think the whole thing, when we get that sad and that upset, not to think of it as like a clinical depression or an anxiety syndrome, but to think of it as, this matters. What's going on right now is really, really important. And after the election, I hope that people who do believe that America has fundamentally wonderful principles will keep looking at them, engaging people around them, and make us even stronger.
I hope so, Peter. I hope you're right. Peter Bregan, our resident psychiatrist there. Apple has reported its first decline in annual sales and profit in 15 years. The company, which had bounced back from near bankruptcy in 1997 to become the world's most valuable company today, told investors that it had sold $215.6 billion worth of iPhones, watches, Mac computers, and other products in the year up to September 24th. The workout is an 8% decrease on Apple's record $233.7 billion of sales the previous year. Rumors about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange are swirling around the internet so fast right now that it seems like each time we run a Google search to see if there's any news or updates, several more new theories spring up. What is happening? He was in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. I think he still is. They cut off his internet service. I'm bringing in Lauren Weinstein, our expert on the internet. Lauren, what's going on? Why this rumor about where is he?
You know, this is a very, very strange story, and I've been researching it, and what I found is that all points lead back to RT, to what used to be called Russia Today, which is, of course, Putin's personal propaganda channel. All of the news outlets seem to be repeating stories that are coming from RT about this, and the story seems to be that WikiLeaks itself, which, of course, is Assange's publication, hacking organ, WikiLeaks is running polls asking people to recommend how they can prove that Assange is alive. And it's just
weird.
It's very strange because it strikes me, it's like you went to a gourmet restaurant and the chef comes out and he stands in front of all tables and says, "Does anyone have a recipe? I need a recipe." It just seems weird. The other thing about this, the timing is very, very, very interesting because it was just announced today or yesterday that a hacker group hacked into Kremlin emails and was releasing emails about Russian plans to destabilize the Ukraine. And that's not WikiLeaks. That's a different hacking group. So it almost, the timing makes it sound like it might be some kind of diversion. I'm not saying it is. There are coincidences. But the fact that all these stories seem to go back to RT and back to the Russians is noteworthy, at least, I think.
It is bizarre. And what's your take on Apple? For the first time in 15 years, its profits are down.
Yeah, you know, the smartphone industry is a fairly mature industry now. So we would expect to see some changes in that. An oddity is that I heard yesterday that that Apple was saying that they thought they could get a big boost in iPhone sales now because of Samsung's problems
exactly.
with the exploding Note 7s and things. And some people would say, well, they're going to shy away from Samsung and get iPhones instead. Whether or not that'll really happen, I don't know, because really if you're associated with the Apple ecosystem versus the Android ecosystem, you're unlikely to go easily hopping back and forth between them. But, you know, let's face it, you sort of have the smartphone industry has sort of stabilized into very low-cost smartphones, slightly more expensive middle grade, and then the premium phones at the other end. And the iPhones have tended more toward the more expensive end of that, so you'd expect to see some of these economic changes.
All right, Lauren, thank you so much. Up next, Robert Stanley joins me as we talk about secret UFO bases and a Luciferian agenda. He's next with us on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, let me tell you a little bit about Robert Stanley. He's back with us, webmaster of UnicusMagazine.com, host of the Unicus Radio Hour. He has served as a correspondent for America's Morning News and America's Radio News Network. He has traveled to 60 countries during his lifelong pursuit of modern and ancient mysteries. As a matter of fact, he's out there in Asia right now. Over the past 30 years, his quest for unique ideas and information has led him to research and write about many controversial topics, of which we will talk with him about tonight. Robert, welcome back. I hope all is well out there where you are.
Thanks, George. Nice to speak with you again.
Boy, how many miles away are you from me? I'm in Los Angeles.
about 6,000.
And, I mean, it just sounds like you're next door. It's amazing.
That's good.
Great technology. What's new with you since we last talked, coming up on a couple of years?
Yes, actually, it was November of 2014 is the last time that we spoke, and about the Luciferian agenda, coincidentally. And there was riots going on then. And thank God that they've stopped for now, but I'm really concerned. You know, I mean, I'm here in Asia, but I still have family and friends in America, and I just hope you guys make it through the elections and the aftermath okay.
Oh, me too. And I was talking with our resident psychiatrist before you came on. You might have heard some of it while you were on hold.
I did.
I'm really concerned that, you know, unlike Bush Gore, where 50% of the people were ticked off when Bush won, you never make the other half happy, but it wasn't as mean or uptight as it is, or bitter as it is on this one. This one's bitter, Robert, and I'm not sure we can pull out of that.
It's not just America, unfortunately. It's the whole world has become polarized. Our society is being provoked, distracted, and divided in ways that we haven't ever seen before, at least not in modern times.
I want to talk with you about two subjects tonight, secret UFO bases and, of course, this Luciferian agenda. Give me your thoughts on this agenda, this Luciferian agenda. What do you think's going on?
Well, you know, I have to update you. Since the last time we spoke, I had a real epiphany after the last time we were having a conversation because I was up all night, a lot of coffee and adrenaline.
Oh, sure.
I started doing some. I just couldn't go back to sleep. Okay. So I started doing some more research about this whole concept, which I've told you and your audience before, that I'd been given some clues that Lucifer not only was real, but that he had a real problem. He suffers from multiple personality disorders, and he also has inadvertently he's infected himself with these mental parasites that he accidentally created, he and his immediate
his cohorts.
Space-faring crew. Yeah, well, you know, and I had told you before that the information I got was from a book called Christ Consciousness by a guy named Norman Paulson, who was a friend of my father. Now, in there, he claims that back in the 1950s, he was contacted by benevolent human extraterrestrials who told him this story about how Lucifer had ventured into some weird forbidden zone, like a black hole, and he was so badly traumatized, he and his crew, that they became insane. They went mad. And I told you I thought maybe that somehow that he was infected from a source external to our universe. But after I went back, last time we talked, I went back and reread that information. It says very clearly there that when they were in the forbidden zone, wherever that may be, and they went insane, that is when they accidentally created these mental parasites, which have various names, such as demons or archons or jinn.
All right.
Okay, so, and those things are extremely real. They're very dangerous, and they're very prevalent in affecting our consciousness negatively.
So you do not believe that Lucifer was a fallen angel?
Well, let's be clear here. The word angel just is Greek. It means messenger. I don't see him as a messenger. Before he went mad, he was a builder of worlds. He and the people that worked with him, they were
from another planetary system or something else.
Yeah, it's not the 12th planet or 10th planet, whatever. It's not Nibiru. He literally came from the Orion constellation. He comes from a royal family. You can read about this in Sitchin's work. He's the one known as Enki.
Okay, all right, that's who he is. All right.
Well, that is who he is. I know this really I'm sorry. Like, I have to apologize up front. I know this upsets people when I say this, but it's just the way it is, okay? And also, I'd like to clarify, I do not hate or fear Lucifer or Enki or whatever you want to call him. The guy has so many different names, it's a little bit absurd sometimes to try and keep up with it. But he is a real person. He's also a shapeshifter. My understanding is he's an amphibianoid. A humanoid that is amphibious. We know this from the descriptions of him in the Persian Gulf. He's known as Alanis, coming up out of the water and giving mankind civilization, as it were.
What does he look like?
Now here's the problem. As a shapeshifter, he can look like anybody that he wants. At any time. So a lot of people have met him and didn't know it. And even I didn't know it, George. You know, that's the other thing I should clarify. When I spoke to you 2 years ago, I said that radiant being of light that I met on the mountain in Malibu in 1985, I wasn't sure who that was. All he said to me was he's the father.
Did you think it was a godlike figure at the time?
Well, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Who wouldn't?
But I was being attacked by the mental parasites that I encountered earlier that day when I was working security at the beach in Malibu. And so when I was up on that mountain praying for help, and when he showed up looking like Jesus, I thought that he was there to help me. I at the time, I had no idea that was Lucifer, and that he was the one that had created these parasites. And basically the reason he was confronting me is because I was interrupting his agenda.
And he knew it.
Oh, of course he knew it. Yes, of course I didn't know it, and it was really confusing to me. And even when I spoke to you 2 years ago, I still didn't know that was Lucifer. It was only shortly after our conversation that a lot of things clicked into place, and they're still clicking into place, which, you know, in a way it's good. But I got to tell you, having this information, I suppose, is a blessing because I think it's important that we know it. But it's also kind of it's a curse because I can't get away from it. I mean, I wouldn't choose to do that. At this point, let's just put it this way. It's a really big responsibility for me to report this accurately because it is affecting everybody to some degree.
Why would Lucifer be in Malibu?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's what I wondered too. But apparently, he considers this entire planet to be part of his empire, his illegitimate empire that he started. We don't know. I'm guessing over 400,000 years ago. That's my estimation. That's when he came here and turned this world from a paradise planet that his mother and brother had first established, essentially as an experiment. It was going to be, if it went well, it would have been a blueprint for the rest of the Orion Empire. But when Lucifer went mad, and he eventually found his way out. He and his crew eventually found their way out of the Forbidden Zone, and they were like rabid dogs. They'd gone completely insane, and they were dangerous. He made his way home back to the court of Orion. His parents said, even though he was first born and he was the next heir to the throne, the kingship of that empire, that galactic empire, they said, there's no way that we can't allow you to ascend to the throne, because you're mentally unstable. And he said, well, then the heck with you guys. I will start my own empire. That's where the war in heaven started.
Ah.
And eventually, it wasn't his ego. It was his mental state. He's broken. His spirit is fractured.
How has he been able, Robert, to live so long? I mean, you just mentioned 400,000 years.
Yes. Well, okay. We're talking about divine beings, gods, goddesses that are shapeshifters. They are interdimensional. They're not just extraterrestrial. And the reason we don't live very long here is because of his tampering, his genetic modifications that he's done to us to cause us to be have an expiration date.
It's like a time clock in us or something.
It's a way of controlling us. He does that to us originally, intentionally. Not only do we have our physical life shortened, but when we pass over, there's this soul trap that he has instituted that causes us to reincarnate back here. They trick us into agreeing to come back here and still be under their control, because part of the problem is, like what he did to me in Malibu that night, was he erased my memory of most of that night. And he does that to us every time we reincarnate. They reinforce their control over us by erasing our memory of the previous lifetime. So it makes us much easier to control.
With what we know of as Satan, is that Lucifer?
Yes. No, that is... Oh, God, here we go. Very controversial. No, my understanding is that is his son, Marduk. He's also known... In the Egyptian pantheon, he was known as Ra.
What a great family this must be, Robert, huh?
Let's be fair. These are divine beings. I know it doesn't make sense, okay, but I've had to come to grips with this. My first reaction, George, when I finally realized who I was dealing with, I was pretty upset. You can imagine. Nobody likes being lied to.
Right,
but
right.
One of his titles is the father of all lies. He's not just doing it to me, okay? And he's incapable of telling the truth. I mean, I don't know. Have you met anybody ever that has multiple personalities?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. They're very difficult. They're incoherent in the sense that you never know which personality you're dealing with, and there's an internal conflict going on. So they lack integrity. So here's the thing. I told you before, evil is an infection, and I can prove that now. I am in the process of making a video about this, and it's also in my next book called The Malibu Chronicle.
Well, you may be right about that. It may be an infection.
Well, I'm actually sure. I found the evidence over the weekend. I'm really jazzed right now, George. I mean, I'm excited to talk to you and your audience, but let me tell you, this is not just a casual conversation we're having. I am going to force the issue. There's no way they can deny this any longer. You know, the reason they hide and do what they do covertly is because they know that we're not stupid. And at some point, if we figure this out, that we will take action individually and collectively to liberate ourselves. And they don't want that. They actually need us on some level, because they have become parasitic and predatory, and they feed off of, as I told you before, they feed off the negative energy that's released through our DNA when we hurt ourselves or others. This is why they're constantly dividing, provoking us, right? Dividing us and provoking us to do harm.
Robert, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Robert Stanley with us. He is live in Asia tonight. We're talking about Lucifer. And then later on, secret UFO bases? Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go way back to Asia again. Robert Stanley is with us as we're talking about the Luciferian agenda with this incredible story. Robert, let's get back into it. It's truly remarkable. How did you learn all this? I mean, it's not something you just wake up and say, hey, I know about this. How did you find the information?
Well, good question, George. It's taken over 30 years of research to be able to have the conversation we're having right now. And I know it sounds fantastic when people hear me, especially for the first time, they're going, they must think I'm mad. But I'm actually a professional researcher. I did that for 8 years for Honda. I actually worked at the research and development facility, and I put together timelines. So I know how to do professional research, not just offer my personal opinion, although there's some of that too. Okay, so I draw on many sources. You know, it used to be journalists actually did a job where they would had to vet their sources, and they would never publish a story unless there was at least two different sources that they found to be credible.
That's right.
So I like to think that I'm one of the last journalists that actually is, you know, remaining, like yourself. Most people nowadays engage in punditry.
We're a dying breed, Robert.
Yeah, it's sad, but I mean, and look, I understand everybody wants to get their opinion out there, but since you asked, it's the reason I have been so adamant about trying to find out this information to understand his agenda is because it so directly impacted my life. I mean, if you just imagine, you're standing face to face with this God, this madman, the fallen angel, whatever you want to call him, and he is affecting my thought process.
Tricking you, right?
Trying to trick, and he did. He tricked me for 29 years, had me under the influence, or in at least believing that he was a god or God or the Father. And so at this point, I just have to jump ahead, give you a further update. When I spoke to you in 2014, what I knew at that point that he would be returning under the false pretense that he was here to save us. And this is going to be sanctioned by the UN and the Vatican. The reason he's coming back is because this is to complete the final stage of his agenda currently, which is to take a contingent of human beings, upgrade them to a cyborg level through AI, nanotechnology, nanobots. Those few humans that have been so-called upgraded are going to be part of a strike force that he teleports or sends through a portal directly to the court of Orion to attack on his behalf. So in other words, they'll become the point guard of his force. Now, my understanding is this was already tried back in the days of Atlantis. That's what he was doing a lot of that genetic experimentation for, and that's the main reason his parents, his family, wiped out pretty much all life on the planet, specifically his doing. The manipulation, the monsters that he had created then were wiped out. And as you know, a lot of your audience knows this too, America is considered the new Atlantis. At least that's what Francis Bacon wrote, right?
Right.
So it is what we are, what we've become, and this was all by design. None of it happened by our own doing.
Well, now let's look at the Luciferian principle and compare it to the agenda of what is really good, and that's the godlike end of it. When do those two collide, Robert? Because they're going to eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is something else I had mentioned last time we spoke, was that there are contingency plans. His family hasn't just given up. It's not like they just want to wipe us all out. That's not the case at all. We are all related. We're all family. And they're very concerned, not only about us, but about their immediate son, Lucifer, Enki, whatever you want to call him. He is royal blood. He is their family, and they've been trying this. It's really difficult to rehabilitate somebody when they don't want to be rehabilitated. And so this free will is a huge issue here. And this is one of the reasons that he tricks us into agreeing to doing things that are not in our best interest. The metaphor for that would obviously be Eve eating the apple. It's just a metaphor. I don't think that's exactly 100% accurate, but it it serves a purpose to, for the sake of the conversation here. He's really good at manipulating people, us. You know what else I found out about him? He thinks he is the father of modern mankind. He also feels he's our savior. From his twisted perspective, he feels that because he genetically modified us to be what we are, that he is our father. He also feels because that he saved some of us, a remnant of his original creation here, his monstrosities that he created here, he reestablished that here. He supposedly saved us from the flood and ignited that whole thing, reestablished it. So in, like I said, he, when he said he's the father, he, from his perspective, he actually believes that.
What's his bottom line, Rob? What does he want?
Well, I don't think I answered your, what does he want? He wants total control. It's really weird about people like that that have no self-control. They feel like they it's easier to control others. My understanding of psychology, I was only a B student in university when it came to psychology, but what my understanding is that people have this disorder. If they can't control themselves, that when they control others, at least that's some degree of control that they have. You know, it's an illusion. It's not accurate, but that's, for them, that's better than nothing, right?
Well, that's so true. That's so true. Well, but it's easy for people to get confused, misread what the situation is with this, as you did for so many years.
Oh, yeah, but see, it's done intentionally. Yeah, look, he didn't just fool me. He's fooled all of us to various degrees. I mean, there are some people that know who they're serving, and they do it willfully because they get rewarded for it.
I guess you would say, though, that Lucifer is not a good entity.
Let's be really clear about this. I don't personally hate somebody if they're mentally ill, even if they're violent. You know, some people have asked me, hey, why doesn't his family just kill him? Well, because they're family. They know he's insane, and that would not be the first choice. The first choice is to try to get him well.
That hasn't worked.
Get it all well. Not yet, but here's the other thing. Remember we talked about hundreds of thousands of years, beings that live for considerably long time, right? Semi-immortal. So in the Bible it talks about 1,000 years is but a day to God. And I know that's not accurate, but it's just, again, this is a metaphor. We have to start thinking on a much larger time scale. I know it's difficult for us because our lives have been so shortened artificially, and our minds have been so controlled artificially.
Mm-hmm.
So, but these beings can live a very, very long time, and they do not suffer from amnesia every time that they physically pass over either. So they have complete recall of who they are and have been, or who they have been for various lifetimes. And it's not difficult for them to have what we would consider really long-term planning.
But he's got cohorts. He's got followers.
Oh, he does.
Are they all insane too?
Unfortunately, yes. And this is what I was saying about finding proof. This is called mass hysteria. On a one-to-one level, the mental health profession knows this. They know that they can find no physical cause for one person actually causing another person to becoming psychotic. But they see it. They've observed it under clinical conditions. So they know that there's a way that we transfer this, but they can't identify it. The Catholic Church would call this possession. The medical profession calls it schizophrenia. Now, both institutions are trying to do something about it, but unfortunately, they're not being successful. So if we can't fix it here accurately, just you've got to understand that there's efforts going on behind the scenes by these divine beings, the ones that are still divine, that are uninfected. They're doing their best. The problem is, and this was explained to me very carefully, that we tend to, because of the circumstances, we tend to be easily tricked into agreeing to do these things. Now, if we agree, I say, okay, look, yes, I want to live forever as a cyborg. I want to become smarter and stronger and compete with AI, etc. Okay? If I agree to that, the divine beings, even though they may disagree, they may say, God, Robert, that's a really stupid idea. I mean, why would you do that? But they can't prevent me from doing it because that would be a violation of my free will. And they still abide by that.
Okay, now on the good side of it, the godlike figures, right? The
yeah.
What's happening on that end? I mean, is there a battle going on? I mean, how long is this going to continue?
Yeah, well, until it's resolved. And it is, you know, okay, so when we think of a battle, we think the good guys and the bad guys, black and white, and there's a lot of shades of gray involved here. The good guys do not operate in the same way. They don't just go around killing people and blowing things up. That's not how they do it. You know, it's very different. It's a lot of times it's really subtle, and they also have to get our approval. You know, like I was just describing. So it's a lot more strategic. I feel it's a lot more subtle, but it's a lot more powerful and effective in the long run. I told you one of the contingency plans I saw when I asked them, "How are you going to resolve this?" Because honestly, I can't. I still, it boggles my mind. How do you heal that many people from a condition that is so pervasive, so systemic? I mean, literally, somebody else actually called it this, a cancer of the consciousness. This is really bad. So what I was shown was that there was a wave of energy that would wash over the planet sometime in the future. And it turns out there's actually a few people that have seen this coming. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I am very confident that what I saw in my mind's eye was that this is actually could happen sometime in the future, that as this energy wave passes over us, that our DNA would, instead of being so shut down, that it would suddenly be fully active. I mean, somebody said that we're like meat modem. It's a weird term. But okay, so think of it. If most people, their DNA has been shut down, switched off to some degree, they're on dial-up. Whereas some of us occasionally, we have these you know, awakenings, epiphanies, whatever you want to call it, revelation. That would be like suddenly having broadband data flow, right? And you're like, whoa, what is all this? You know, it's like it's just a flood of information, of stuff that's really there, but it's like we just can't quite see it right now because we've been so dumbed down or switched off in many regards. So that would be the switching on of us. And I think at that point, people would have a much greater clarity as to making good choices, or at least clear choices about what is it that we want. Do we want to be free? Because, you know, remember we talked about this before, like people that are in prison
mm-hmm.
for too long, when you let them out, they feel uncomfortable. They want to.
Of course, they want to go back.
Because they feel very uncomfortable when they're outside the prison system. So they can't reintegrate to society. So I feel that the same thing is true for a lot of people here. If given the choice of moving off of the prison world here, there are some people that are going to choose to stay living under those conditions, and that will be honored by the divine beings. When I first was shown that, I thought, no, that can't be right. That's not really a solution, is it? And they made it clear to me, it has to be that way.
Robert, is this a great deception, in your opinion?
Which, of course, the whole thing is an illusion. This is a good segue. Now, are you familiar with the cube on the north pole of Saturn, that hexagonal shape? In other words, it's something that the Kabbalah and the big black square that the Islamic people go around. In other words, it's worshipped in multiple religions. Israel, the Islamics, the Masonic Society, they all worship this Saturnian black cube. What that is a hyperdimensional tesseract. It looks like a cube, but it's a portal to another dimension. That is set up on Saturn as an extension of the larger original mother quantum computer tesseract that Lucifer created. Not only did he create his own empire, George, he created a matrix, a false universe. It's very small compared to the known universe, but it's where we are.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because Elon Musk says, of course, yep. Elon Musk, the PayPal founder, and Tesla and everything else,
yep.
he says we're living in a false matrix computerized world.
Yep. And then he, more importantly, so is Bank of America. I don't know why they got involved, but executives at Bank of America?
What are they doing?
IT people? I don't know. Well, okay, look. What I feel is happening is that people are exponentially waking up, in part because of shows like this, through the internet, you know, despite all its deficiencies. The fact that we're having open conversations about this is having a change. Also, there was a shift in the energy/consciousness of this planet between 1987 and 2012. Everybody that went through that and is now on the other side of it is far more awake and alert than previously. So we're in a whole new, this is a whole new ball game we're in right now. And honestly, I feel the tipping point is coming as far as consciousness is concerned. We are, if we haven't already made it there, I think we're very close to a tipping point where there is no return. There's just no way you can put the genie back in the bottle. I mean, look at the approval ratings of the media. People see through it now. They're tired of being lied to, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in record numbers. Except
yeah,
with us,
yeah,
of course. We look for the truth.
Well, yeah, right, and that's the thing. People are not so easily fooled, and I think it's because there has been a huge shift in individual as well as collective consciousness, and I mean shifting towards an awakeness, an awareness that hasn't been on this planet for a very long time.
You have looked at things like new technologies, artificial intelligence, and you think all that plays a role in this deception, don't you?
Well, I'm sure it does. Yeah, it's unfortunate, too, because I actually enjoy technology. I think
Me
when
too.
Used correctly, it's just another tool. I think it can be very helpful. But it is, unfortunately, something that we have to be extremely careful about because this is part of and parcel of Lucifer's, not only his empire, but his agenda for us. Now, I have a really important web page on my website. I really appreciate it if people would just go check it out. You could spend a few minutes, a few hours, a few days. You could probably spend even longer if you wanted to, but please go to my article section at unicusmagazine.com. Click on TechnoSide. And on that page, there's literally books and articles and everything. It explains it very clearly how AI is designed to control us. That's the only reason that it's being introduced now. It's ancient. It was brought here, and it's not something we created. It has the ability to go interdimensional too, which is kind of weird. Arthur C. Clarke knew this. He wrote about it in the final
sure
book
did.
Called 3001, the final of the series of the Space Odyssey. I mean the amount of information on that one webpage called TechnoSide is absolutely mind-boggling, and I wrote it. Okay, so it's like I would just highly urge people, please take a little time, go through it. Obviously, you can't digest it all at one shot, but if you want to know what is coming our way and why, you have to check that out.
All right, stay with us, Robert. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about the Luciferian agenda. Then we'll talk about the secret UFO bases, and also we'll take phone calls with you next on Coast to Coast AM.